WildTalkRadio.com.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Oh, yes!
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
It's just a matter what the Rock is cooking.
And Lindsay Ward.
Rest in peace.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
And if you're not down with that, we got two words for ya!
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
This is Monday Night Raw!
Name changes, bachelorette parties, and American nightmares. This is the Raw Post Show, where Veer comes in hard, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I'm Sorokin, joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
We have some theories about tonight's show.
Oh, many theories.
We have some questions about tonight's show. I mean, personally, myself, I don't like to take it raw, but, you know, here we are. Veer just had to go that way.
Veer just comes in raw, destroying Dominic Mysterio.
Poor Dominic.
Dominic just sort of took one for the team and got destroyed by Veer.
Hey, Veer looked good, and they rolled Dominic out on a stretcher, so you want, especially after all this time, and you kind of have an uphill battle with Veer because you took so long to bring him to TV, that you have to get him over the best that you can. So they used someone slightly elevated to do that, where he's going to attack people at will to, you know, get people's attention and possibly get into a match. And yeah, I knew it was fine.
He destroyed him, and then he, you know, he strikes fear into the heart of any man. Also, as we learn, name changes. You said you had a theory. Well, that's all there is. We have theory now, no longer Austin Theory. Him and Vince McMahon decided that there's no longer Austin. It's just theory, because Austin just doesn't suit him after WrestleMania.
I'm entirely disappointed in WWE because they had the chance to do a dot theory and they didn't do it. Think of the puns. Think of the epic level puns that you could do with that. Like, you could still do it with theory, and in technicality, you can still do a theory. But, like, just think of the puns that a period theory would produce. Like, it's gold for them, and they didn't do it. I'm so disappointed. I mean, I'm sure the writing staff is very tired after WrestleMania, but y'all, puns, that's what we're here for.
It was the MVP lounge. Lashley was in the ring before the host even showed up. He said last week should have been a celebration for him. He was able to do almost, but MVP stabbed him in the back. He called them out. He didn't come out. They eventually did. Once he threatened to destroy the set, they came out, told Lashley to stop embarrassing himself because he's so emotional. MVP said his lawyers would send Lashley a bill if he damaged any of the set. Lashley asked MVP to come to the ring to explain what he did. MVP said Omos was learning to become a businessman. MVP said Lashley and his fans should be thanking him, but he can see you may need to deserve an explanation. He said when he returned to WWE, Lashley was floundering. He recalled some sawed-off run and some wannabe TikTok star leading his career. MVP said he made Lashley and told him never to forget that. Lashley said MVP came back for his farewell run and then did what he does best by latching on to the next meal ticket. Lashley said he beat everyone and became WWE champion. MVP said he was with him every step of the way. MVP said that was the past, this is the present, he's looking to the future, which is Omos. Omos will take Lashley's place at the top mount because he's smart enough to realize that he needs him. MVP said Lashley barely survived his first match with Omos and promised that him that he wouldn't survive his next. Lashley said he'll take down Omos just like he did at WrestleMania, and then he'll come for MVP, and then start throwing the pieces of the stage around. So, there you go. Also, the sold off front, Leo Rush, and the wannabe TikTok star, Lana.
Shots fired! I mean, this was good. This was...
It was fine. It sets the next stage of things. Okay. I'm just going to say it, and I'm just going to set it up, and you're just going to run with it. Bachelorette party on Monday Night Raw. Go.
What the hell? What was this? I mean, don't get me wrong, okay? Just really, do not mistake me when I say that I love a good wrestling wedding. I even love the shenanigans that go with a wrestling wedding. Because, you know, stuff happens with wrestling weddings. This time we're going to have a double wrestling wedding with, you know, Dana Brooke and Tamina. And this was the bachelorette party where all the ladies were together. And then there was Los Lotharios with their kiss cam. And then there was a stripper, a very handsome male stripper, and a referee. Because Nikki A.S.H., and I'm sitting here watching this, and because, like, they showed it, and they panned across the women, and Nikki A.S.H. is there, and she's in full gear. Nobody else is in full gear. Like, she has the mask on and everything. And it's like, why is Nikki there in full gear? It's like, I get it. You know, she's the superhero, but instead, it's like, no, she's there to take Dana's 24/7 title, because Dana's like, after the wedding, it's fair game. But for right now, no. You know, kind of thing. Because she doesn't want to be messed up for her big day. So we have stripper bachelorette party stuff ensue. And then, you know, Nikki tries to pin Dana. And Tamina pulls Nikki off of Dana. And then does the comedy, sweeps Nikki across the top of the bar. And then I think she got thrown. And then somewhere along the way, R-Truth shown it up, and he's the officiant for the ceremony. I'm still not sure how the gentleman got there, because Reggie was there.
Well, they said earlier in the night that we have to protect. You can't leave them alone. You can't leave the R-Truth was like, we can't leave the 24/7 title alone. And so he sent his band of merry men over, and Reggie reluctantly agreed.
Anyway.
That's the setup.
Like I said, I'm all for shenanigans. I have no idea what this was, and I'm not entirely sure I appreciated it, because I just sat here the whole time, like, going WTF, because I was very, very confused the whole time. It wasn't bad, I don't know if, again, I'm going to ask this question, when did WWE get so trashy?
This was the tamest trashiness of them.
This was tame trash, in comparison, but, like, I mean, I don't know. So, I can't do it. I can't take this level of trash. Like, it's just not my kind of trash.
Yeah, the male stripper was a ref.
One of the male strippers was a ref. The other one was, like, an actual male stripper.
Yeah. So next week, a double wedding, where R-Truth will get his baby back. Then in the weird thing of the night, AJ Styles, Damian Priest had a good match, and then Damien gets down on his knee like he's an Undertaker, raised up his arm, lights went out, lightning struck, and gone.
I'm just going to say it. Damien's becoming the Undertaker. Like, because with the gear especially, it's very, very reminiscent of 97, 98 Taker. And then the guyliner, which he's always had, but, like, there was some serious guyliner going on with the purple lightning and the kneeling and all the things. Oh, yes. Here we go. Which, he's been kind of sort of going that direction for a while now, and I'm not opposed to it if they do it correctly.
Yeah.
Like, there will only ever be one Undertaker, but that doesn't mean that there can't be imitations of the Undertaker at some point down the line. You could even have Taker return at some point to mentor Damian Priest in the same way that Paul Bearer mentored him, minus the whole brother situation that we won't talk about. Because I don't think Damien has that, and I don't think they could get away with that. Although, it would be cool to see him try. But, like, because right now you have Damien with Edge and you have Edge sort of mentoring him and leading him, but at some point Damian's going to want to push out on his own, but they're still in the process of forming the group and doing the whole thing. But yeah, very much an Undertaker vibe off of him. I'm not opposed to it. I'm happy that he's not doing the light dark, like he's just gone the dark.
Yeah.
And he's picked a side, and he's going dark, which, okay, all right, cool. I think he's suited to it. Or I will say this, his eyes and his teeth in the purple was freaky. Like, I saw a screenshot of it, and it's like, oh, that's weird looking. Like, not bad, but just, it's, you sit there and you look at the screenshot, and you're like, that's kind of freaky.
Yeah. So, Seth Rollins was, AJ was being interviewed backstage. He saw Damian. He attacked Damian backstage. And also, Damian pledged his loyalty to Edge. So, there's your backstory for all that.
And AJ's face!
Yeah.
After the attack, good lord, his face was cut up.
Yeah, he's been having a rough go at it. Liv Morgan took on Naomi. Naomi got the win. This was supposed to be a tag team title match. It was not. Rhea was under protocol. So we'll just leave it at that.
Feel better, Rhea.
So there was a moment backstage where Sonya informed Adam Pearce that she figured out who the next challenger will be for Bianca. And she was going to do it in the ring. So Bianca came out. She took on Queen Zelina. Got the win. Sonya would then come out. Talked about everything that Bianca's gone through. And Bianca talks about how, told Bianca, you know, you'll be, you know, fighting champion and all these things. Deville said it wasn't easy to have to find the most viable contenders in the division. There's so many. Becky Lynch, Rhea Ripley, Carmel, Liv, Alexa, Doudrop, Dana Brooke. You name it. You have the best Raw host to offer. Bianca said she'll take on any all comers and no matter what. And so she signed the contract. And Sonya gives this whole big thing and someone who declared that she'd come back for the title a year ago and all these things. She hyped it up. Big to do. And then it was Sonya Deville. Sonya attacked from behind, chopped her leg out, signed the contract. Adam Pearce was mad, like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm the first ever, you know, person, you know, general manager, WWE official, whatever you want to call it, to sign an open contract, answer an open challenge and shock the world, and that's what she did. So, looks like we're getting Bianca and Sonya as the first title defense. Not bad.
Not bad. I'm curious to see what they're going to do with this, because Sonya's kind of like off and on.
Yeah, but and she's been on more lately, so this should be good.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we had Tommaso Ciampa walk up. Tommaso Ciampa is now part of Raw officially, so he's welcome to the roster, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ezekiel walks up, and before he welcomed to Raw, and Ciampa's like, thank you, it was nice to meet him. And then Kevin Owens showed up, and he starts accusing Ezekiel of being Elias, and Ezekiel left, and Ciampa told Owens, well, he asked, you know who, he's going to Ciampa. He's like, that's Elias. Ciampa's like, no, that's Ezekiel. He's the younger brother of Elias. Owens has questioned whether he's the only one who's sane and told Ciampa to grow up. Give me Kevin and Ciampa, by the way. Just, as a side note.
Yeah,
just,
please.
Just make that happen at some point. Thank you. So later in the night, Kevin walks up. He's, after the whole Austin Theory thing, he walked in to the room and he's upset about Elias coming to be Ezekiel, and, you know, he wants to give, he goes on, and he's like, I want this to be settled, and I'm like, let me set up a lie detector for next week's show. So next week, Kevin Owens is gonna give Ezekiel a lie detector test to figure out if he's Elias or Ezekiel. Also, he made sure they agreed to pay for it.
You know, like you do.
So there was that. We had RK-Bro taking on Alpha Academy. Good match as always. RK-Bro got the win. We then saw the Usos arrive. It was told from SmackDown they were coming to Raw because they want to unify the tag titles. Orton said the big dog let his bitches off their leash tonight, I guess. Surprised to see you here. They want to challenge him for the title, the Undisputed Tag Team titles. Matt Riddle made a joke about the beating Avengers and Thanos and all the things. Street Profits came out. They won in on this whole situation. This set up the main event match between the Usos and the Street Profits. We saw the Usos get the win over the Street Profits. Bunch of people lay out some people. Randy laid out Montez with an RKO, then got laid out by Superkicks.
I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah.
I don't want them to unify all of the titles, although I feel like it's heading
at least for the men's side.
least on the men's side, it feels like it's heading in that direction. Like, I hope they don't unify the women's titles because they have enough women that they can go for both. But I can see, like, doing things like the tag titles. They don't have enough tag team titles on both sides to just, or tag teams, not tag team titles, tag teams, to justify having two sets.
Yeah.
Like, you need to reduce that down so you don't have the same teams going for the same titles. Like, this will at least allow you to mix it up and give you some new matches, because it's like, you can only watch RK-Bro versus the Street Profits versus Alpha Academy so many times, and same thing over on the SmackDown side with the Usos and New Day and yada 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 yada. And you actually just lost a tag team because Rick Boogs got hurt, so now he and Shinsuke are out of the picture, and Shinsuke's got to go back to doing singles unless he can find another partner.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with that. I would prefer if they would keep like the IC and the US separate and keep the women's title separate, just so we're not all back on one again.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm okay with them unifying the titles. I would be curious to see if somebody can take it off the Usos, because again, they've had them for a long time. And RK-Bro are your, you know, Raw champions, and can they take the titles off of them? I will also say, WWE, one, I appreciate you making Matt Riddle a snake. Two, why are you having Randy Snake attack Riddle Snake? Why are you? Why? Why? They're friends. They like each other. They smoke things together. Like, why? Why is one snake attacking the other? That doesn't make sense. No, stop it. Change the animation, please, if you can. Although I don't know if like we have to wait that long.
We'll see. So Monday Night Raw opened up with Miz TV. His guest was none other than Cody Rhodes. Miz asked the crowd, do you think Cody can beat him later? Miz said, doesn't care what the fans think because they cheer for the Lions. I like in this recap, Miz told the fans that their opinions didn't matter because they cheer for the Lions, in parentheses, football team.
Well, you know, you have to specify.
Cody came out with a new entrance. Because, okay, so I know there are some people, 1 week and they already changed his entrance. Yeah, wonder why? They don't use a full stage anymore. There's nothing to rise up for. Last week they brought out, just so they could do it, they made this all awkward platform thing for him to come down on. They had to build it before Raw, put it by the entrance. It looked really, really weird when it came out because they shot it so weird. It was like, instead, we're just going to create a new entrance with smoke, with tons of smoke and so much pyro. He got all the pyro. Miz said, hey, you spent our pyro budget because you took 45 minutes to get to the ring. Rhodes is like, Cody's like, don't get high. Don't begrudge him for this first time being here for a long time. He's, you know, crowd was hot for Cody. They were into anything he said. Miz said one of the reasons Cody returned to WWE was to make his father proud, and he talked about if it wasn't for Cody's family name, he wouldn't be the grandson of a plumber, he'd just be a plumber. Cody's like, clever. Cody asked Miz, why would it be a good thing to be plumber? You're completely full of shh. I stopped myself, but you guys know what I meant. The censors were right on the word shit, by the way. Once he went with an S, they bleeped it right away. He said, Miz hasn't changed a day since he's been gone. You're a full-blown carny, and you know what that makes you? Reliable. Good old reliable Mike. Cody asked if, you know, do I look the same to you, Miz? And you know what the answer on Twitter was?
Yes.
No, you have a tattoo on your neck.
I mean, that's fair.
The last time I was here, I didn't have this ugly tattoo. He's been gone for 6 years, and now he wants to win the undisputed WWE Universal Championship belt. He said belt, the B word. You're not allowed to say the B word in WWE. Miz gave it the line, it's a title, a belt holds up your pants. Because that is a Vince McMahon line. Miz said anyone who can beat Rollins at WrestleMania deserves to be in title contention. Miz said he heard that Rollins wants a rematch, and this time Rhodes won't be able to surprise him like he did. Miz said he didn't like Cody's chances against Rollins or even against him tonight. Miz then talked about everything that happened at WrestleMania. People were talking most about Cody, but not about Miz, you know, taking out Logan Paul or the Mysterios. Miz said everyone knows where Cody has been for the last 6 years, but he's said Miz TV is his show, and Cody doesn't get to embarrass him on his show. Miz told Cody that he wouldn't stand a chance, won't stand for it anymore. They got face to face. He said he respects Miz, does Cody, and all of his accomplishments. Cody said he got the sense that all this hostility because Miz felt threatened by him. He said he would happy to give Rollins a rematch, but he said Miz was making things personal. Cody said he knew there would be questions and doubt when he returned to WWE. He said he's mature enough to handle it all. He said he came to be the very best WWE wrestler. Miz is like superstar, so he goes superstar wrestler. Cody said he was looking forward to his first match in Raw in 6 years. He goes, may the best man win. Miz tried to attack. Cody sidestepped him and tossed him out. Miz correcting him on the lingo was great. This was a very good segment. Good use of Cody. You can tell he's scripted, even though he'll always tell you he's scripted, but it's him talking. That's the best way to put it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like the premise is scripted, but these are his words. This is not some writer writing his words for him.
Well, I mean, it is. He's just telling the writer what to write.
Well, you know what I mean. It's in his words.
Yeah, it's in his voice.
Mm-hmm. And that's all that matters.
This was very good. This is a great use of Cody to continue on and follow up from last week. They put him on first. They had him out there first.
And then they told you the exact time he was wrestling.
So that way, if you wanted to come back and see him, you could come back and see him. They're being very strategic with this. They're being very smart with this. They know, they understand that the internet has waited, and the people have waited, because it's not just the internet, but the people have waited a very long time to see Cody Rhodes come back in WWE. Not just from when he left AEW, but there have been the loyal and the faithful that have waited since his departure.
Mm-hmm.
For him to make the return. And they understand that there is a buzz with this. They understand people are excited with this. They've seen everybody talking about it. Everybody continuing to talk about it. They saw the press hit in terms of all the stories that went up about Cody's return. They understand what they have. They know that. So it's like, we are going to feature this, and we're going to do this properly. For now.
For now.
WWE. They can cock this up.
They could. But I don't think they will.
I don't think they will. But they're being very strategic and very smart. And I get the funny feeling that this is being handled in part by Vince personally. That he is taking care of this return and he's booking it and he's doing it. Like, I just get that. I get that hunch.
Oh, 100%. Either him, there may be a Heyman involved, whoever. There's a lot of attention being put on Cody Rhodes. And if I would have bet, if Cody doesn't like something, he's going to knock right on the door and get it fixed.
Within reason. I think there's certain things that it's like, look, you're going to have to play ball.
No,
right?
But
like, he can't reject everything.
Can't reject it, but if he doesn't like it, he'll go see. Unlike in the past, probably, for him, where he was probably not going to events, he'll go to events and get the explanation.
Yeah, because it's a two-sided thing. Right? Like, Cody came back with specific expectations and specific goals. There are things he doesn't want brought up and mentioned. There are things that he doesn't want to do, namely Stardust. He was very explicit in the fact that he doesn't ever want it brought up. He doesn't ever want to do it. He doesn't want anything to do with it. It is now him as Cody Rhodes and the gimmick that he's built. He has brought that to the table. And in return, he expects to be treated with the respect that he's brought to the table, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's how it is. And I feel like for right now, that's how they're doing that. We'll see as time progresses, because, you know, Cody still has to do the one thing which he is doing right now, and that is deliver. Deliver on ratings, deliver on ticket sales, deliver on merch, deliver on all the things. Basically prove that he is a bankable star outside of the buzz that was created prior to his return. So he's got a year-ish to kind of, I would say, prove that. Maybe even less than that to before Vince is kind of like, yeah, okay, did I waste my money here? So far, it's going good for him, but we're only a week out of WrestleMania. And if they continue to book him like this, I think he's going to be okay.
Yeah, he'll be perfectly fine. So, this is a clear example of WWE booking, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how times have changed. Did you know Cody Rhodes has never beaten The Miz?
Well, I think that's going to change.
That changed tonight when Cody beat The Miz. He was 0-6 against The Miz on television. So now he's 1-6.
Hey!
But it's just one of those stats that came out. He was 0-6. I was like, yeah, that kind of makes sense. Miz was the bigger star then. Miz should have been the one getting the wins.
I think they had a really good feud for the IC title. And yeah, Cody could never manage to beat Miz.
Yeah. So Cody got the win. Seth Rollins was there. He came watching the entire time laughing.
Fucking extra troll.
He got in the ring. Got in the ring and talked about the rematch. And Rollins pointed out Rhodes was a surprise opponent. That gave Cody the advantage. Now I see what I'm working with. Rollins asks for the rematch against Mr. Nightmare. And Cody's like, yeah, sure, absolutely. So we're going to get Rollins and Cody one more time. Probably at WrestleMania Backlash.
Like you do. They're building that card. So this will be good. This will be fine. Can Seth beat Cody? Can Cody beat Seth? I mean, either way, it's going to be a really, really good match. I think they did fine. It was a little messy in spots on WrestleMania, but they have more time to work together. They have more time to figure it out now.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it will be a much better match the second time go around than it was the first.
Yeah. And the first one was really good.
First one was really good. It's like I said, it did get messy in a couple of places.
But that's the post show.
That is the post show. So you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
So next week we got a double wedding, a tag title match, and more. Thursday night, though, it's Direct Live, 10 p.m. Eastern. It's the actual show. We're doing an actual show with news, notes, NXT, and what they call a discussion. That's Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern. Saturday night, Midnight Edition, another edition of Superhero, SuperLive.com, GreaterThanGreatDebate.com. Sunday night, it's Easter. No show. Sorry. Monday night, it's the Raw Post Show. 11 p.m. Eastern. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter. Facebook.com slash Wild Talk Radio Network. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Games. Support the channel by clicking that purple rectangle at the bottom of the screen. You can use creator code ROCKETSOCK or
Linz M. Ward
in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store. Why?
So we are hashtag Epic Partners.
You streamer.
Yes, I'm a streamer. You can follow me on Twitch at twitch.tv/LinzWard. You can follow me on Twitter at LinzWard. You can use my creator code, which we just plugged. I stream Genshin Impact Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays, and on the weekends. So 6-ish p.m. So come check it out if you're a Genshin Impact fan. I also stream Fortnite on Saturday nights with Rock and Brent. Come check that out. You can follow me on YouTube. Look for LinzWard or go to linzward.rockradioshow.com.
There you go. The tag title match to talk about is the women's tag team title match. Anyway, thanks to MDBG Films, youtube.com/MBG12. These Thursday night for the rec. And right back here for the Raw Post Show. Every Monday night, long day of the Wild Talk Radio Network. Should be live at wildtalkradio.com and twitch.tv/WTRLive.
WildTalkRadio.com.